Welcome back to the Hour Time Show, the show by Watch Geeks for Watch Geeks. With me, Victor.
I am Nicholas.
And you are Nicholas. Thank you. I was kind of waiting for that.
Yes. How are you, Victor?
I am amazing.
That's good to hear. That's good. Got any fun weekend plans planned?
No.
No? All right. Me neither, actually.
My whole weekend has already been made.
Oh, all right. Well, that's good.
Today was a two-watch day. Two watches arrived at my house today.
What were they?
Oh, no, we'll get to that. You were going to tell me about something you just mentioned before we started recording.
Yes, we had a lengthy Facebook discussion before we hit the record button. There was some Meta news this week. Among those relevant to the podcast, potentially a Meta developed smartwatch. There is an app for iOS and Android that helps control their new Ray-Ban sunglasses or whatever, smart glasses. And in that app, doing some data mining, they've unearthed the photo of what appears to be a smartwatch developed by Meta, formerly
Facebook.
Known as Facebook. Yes, it more or less looks like an Apple Watch. I would say it more strongly resembles an Apple Watch than a... like a Garmin or something like that.
Right, Fitbit.
And what makes it potentially unique, there appears to be a camera, almost like a selfie camera on the bottom of the display. I don't know, I guess for like conference calls or I don't know, almost like FaceTime-esque calls, just video chats.
Portal. They called it Portal over at Facebook.
Portal. They do have Portal.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are no details on this camera. I can't imagine it's a particularly good camera. But just the idea, I figured we pause a moment. The idea of a Meta-developed smartwatch, does that interest you? I mean, Facebook, Meta, whatever. They don't have the greatest reputation in terms of data stewardship, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting topic for perhaps another day. But I don't know. My kind of high-level thoughts were, for me to replace my Apple Watch, I use my Apple Watch for a very fairly narrow use of things. It is an exercise and fitness appliance, basically. I don't know that I'm in the market to replace that with something developed by anyone, let alone Meta.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I leave it to you. What does that – does the idea immediately turn you off? Are you like, I don't know, let's see. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I would want to say that if you were talking about replacing your Apple Watch with a health appliance, I would tell you to look at Withings.
Yes, whom we've discussed recently.
Makers of fine products for several years.
Yeah.
They went through a period where they're owned by Nokia. Yeah, so they've got a very nice smartwatch. And it's round analog style display hands with a small digital display. Very good kind of tasteful thing with lots of battery life. Because when you're doing a fitness kind of watch, when you're doing any kind of watch, you want to have that sort of battery life. This whole charge every other day thing is really something that pretty much Apple gets away with, but even they would like to have longer battery life.
I'm sure, yeah. That is the one complaint I have with my Apple Watch. It is the 2018 model, and definitely if I actually wore it while hiking last weekend, an hour or two. By the time I got home, that thing was like
it was flat.
it was dying. So I was like, that is for sure something that could be improved.
I don't know that I would tolerate low battery life from anyone else. When you tack a camera on a device, cameras use power.
Yes, they do.
They use lots of power, especially if you're running a display so you can see what the camera is capturing. So now you've got a couple power drains there.
Yeah.
And furthermore, a camera mounted on your wrist is inherently stupid because your wrist moves a lot.
It sure does.
And trying to hold your wrist steady is super difficult and leads to both, tiring out your wrist and giving you gorilla arm. Right? All the blood drains from your hand. Your hand falls asleep. It's just...
Oh, yeah.
Every part of this is...
Just like bad video, too, on the other end. Someone's looking at this like cruddy, like what is this?
Shaky,
blurry.
Cruddy video. And, and I'm not even commenting on Facebook or Meta or whoever thinks they're behind this thing. I'm just saying that from a practical standpoint, doing this is bad.
I don't know that I've ever wanted a camera in my Apple Watch to do like a FaceTime. I don't know. I can't think of any other use cases for this.
Do you take phone calls on your Apple Watch? Like, will you answer the phone on your watch?
I have not, but I know my father does. I have seen him do that.
So he does the Dick Tracy thing.
He certainly does, yes.
Okay.
But maybe that's a generational thing. I don't know.
It could be. It could just be it's easier to answer there than to get up and we're, you know.
I have never done that, and I never will do that, actually.
I've done it precisely once just to prove that I could.
Okay.
Am I going to make a practice of talking into my wrist? No.
Probably not.
No.
Why would you? Why would you?
I don't like making phone calls in the first place. Let's be really
That's
clear.
Another thing. yeah, I don't know. So I don't know. I just want to, I'll put the link in the show notes for folks. There was a lot of Facebook/Meta news this week, and I figure folks listening
Definitely,
to this may, if they haven't heard it, you know, they may, and it's a smartwatch. I don't know. It looks fine. It looks like every other, I mean, it looks very Apple Watch, but that's fine. I don't know. There's no sense of when this could be released.
I guess the rumors are early next year,
or even if, yeah, this could just be, you know, so, you know, a ping file that was just in in the assets of this app that, like, oops, someone forgot to take out. I mean, things, you know, that seems like that could be a credible story, but we shall see.
Could be a honeypot just to see who's digging through their stuff.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, that's a good point too. Yeah. But I don't know. I'll put a link in the show notes. Facebook, or excuse me, Meta smartwatch could be neat. Who knows? We shall see.
Could be neat, could be tragic, but either way. Now, I mean, if you were wearing their Ray-Bans and used your wristwatch as a shutter for whatever the camera of the Ray-Bans was seeing, right? That's not. Although having worn Google Glass and trying to take a photo with Google Glass was also pretty. Oh my god! I had for 1 week. No, I had them for a week.
A week? Wow! I'm kind of jealous. I really was very much into the idea of Google Glass back in the day.
You escaped. Oh, yeah. You escaped unscathed. I wore them for a week, and they were both simultaneously annoyingly hard to use in terms of trying to take a photograph with. Okay. And also, just by virtue of wearing them, people threatened to beat me up.
Really?
I went to a paintball shop to get some CO2 canisters filled. And the dude had three dome security cameras on the ceiling pointed at where I was standing at the register. And he got super aggressive and said, "Are you filming me?" "No, I'm not filming you." "You're wearing Google Glass. You're filming me."
I do remember the backlash for sure.
I'm not filming you. And they're also powered off because they ran out of battery because they only have limited battery. And he's like going aggressive at me for filming him when he's got three Hikvision 1080p security cameras.
Well, you can't
aimed at me. And I'm like, guys, come on.
This is an imbalance of power.
Very much. And no. So head-worn cameras may not be a good idea. Wrist-worn cameras, definitely not a good idea. I don't know.
Yeah. I had the Snapchat spectacles, first gen. I did indeed. Gen 1, I got them the day they came out.
Did you get them out of a vending machine?
I got them there was like a pop-up store in Manhattan, near the Apple store at Fifth Avenue. I think like right around the corner basically. And I got up at 6 a.m. as I used to do back then. and like I noticed a tweet from someone saying, "Oh my God, they're called spectacles, right? Spectacles on sale in Manhattan, line up now." And I was like, I don't want to line up.
Do
it was
I have
really
to?
Cold. It was December. Yeah. It was quite chilly.
Bitter. Yeah.
I was in line for, I think, all told, like 3 hours. Maybe two of those hours were outside. One of those hours was inside. I think they looked, they were big, kind of bulky, but that's arguably a style.
Yeah.
The camera, the video quality was like, I mean, not great. It was a toy, basically. And I was like, all right, I got them. I threw them out eventually. I was like, dude, I don't even use these. Yeah, they're gone. What are they worth? I guess I could check them out.
I don't know.
Nothing. Who would pay?
Who wants my old hardware that's not even useful anymore? Yeah.
Snapdeck spectacles. Let's see.
I missed waiting in line for a NVIDIA graphics card recently. And before that, the last time I waited in line, like seriously waited in line, I got up at 2 a.m. to wait in line at the launch of the iPad in 2010.
Okay. That's cool.
And I was in line in the dark, and behind me in line was Play of Kid and Play.
Really? That is a random. You could have given me 100 years of anyone. Guesses.
would never have gotten that.
No, there's obviously no way.
But yeah, Play.
Is he a Big Apple guy?
I don't know, I'm big, but he does a lot of video production. He does a whole lot of audio production, video production now.
Interesting.
And he got his first iPad at the same time I did.
Well, that was a very hyped. I don't know how old folks are listening to this, but that was a very hyped device for sure.
It was hard to get. Like at launch, it was not easy to get. And the iPad 2 was also really in short supply when they launched.
Yes. Yeah. And to be clear, just to backtrack a second, I got the spectacles because I was going to write about it for work anyway. It's not like I made a Snapchat account because they asked me to at work.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly their target demo.
Sure.
You say that now. I did. Look, I wish them well. The kids like it. I'm seeing Snapchat spectacles. They're going for like $100 brand new.
Cool.
OG one. So worthless.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyhow.
It's a show about watches. What are you wearing on your wrist?
I am actually wearing the Seiko Samurai. I know I've mentioned this in the past, not a lot. I don't wear this watch a lot.
So what prompted you to put it on? Why?
Well, good question. It is because it matches the clothes. I'm wearing a pair of pants that I can only describe as like Joker purple.
Purple trousers.
Yes, and a gray kind of Henley. And I'm like, when I was growing up, my mom was like super like,
Are those your fighting trousers?
Stylish or like, I don't really fight that much. I'm locked up in my basement surrounded by Cheeto
dust. Fetch me my fighting trousers.
And so it's kind of this like kind of like deep blue dial, and I put it on a kind of navy blue NATO. It's a clothing accessory.
You've got navy, you've got
Joker purple. And I think it fits. I'll put some sort of photo that kind of gives you the full effect in the show notes.
This color palette is going to need some explaining.
I like it. It to me, it feels, I don't know, it feels right. So that's what I've got today. Did I go somewhere? I went to the store, I shipped some things. So humans saw it, didn't get any comments one way or the other, but that's fine. I wasn't fishing for comments.
But you're also in New York. I feel like if anyone commented, it would be unusual to comment, right?
I think one of the things I learned about
people leave
New York
you alone
like,
when you're weird.
Yes, nobody cares. I remember one time I was at TechCrunch with John, who is busy today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was coming back from the office with like some giant some video game thing. It was like it's a huge it was like those foam fingers you get at like baseball stadiums, just like big giant. It was a very clownish looking technology accessory. I don't really remember. Maybe it was like a garage band thing or something, like the game. Walking through Manhattan, and I was like, you know, I got a couple blocks. And I was like, I was very nervous. I was like, oh my God, everyone's looking at me. I look like such a fool. And I was like, wait a minute. Literally nobody cares.
Yeah,
I could
half
be walking
of those things
around.
Are true. You totally look like a fool. And also no one is looking at you.
That is true. Nobody gives a hoot. So yes, you're right. You could be wearing a blue Seiko. And then I actually, the reason why I kind of keep this watch around, last summer, actually before we started doing this show, I kind of got into a little bit watch modding and like switching out crystals and like taking out bezels and like doing some of that
stuff.
So
what have you done to this one?
So this watch was kind of like my test watch, I guess. I needed a test watch. This is kind of,
I had
flopped, switched out the crystal. It shipped with the hard Lex, and I put in a sapphire.
Good.
Which, you know, it's fine. The bezel insert, I didn't switch a bezel insert. I fixed the loom. No, it was the bezel insert was misaligned, and it was driving me nuts.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, I was like, all right, I got to figure this out. That's exactly. So I fixed that, and now I, you know, hooray for me. What else have I done? I think that's actually it. And then the pip fell out at one point. I was like, how do I fix the – and I did fix that. So really, I had to fix the bezel, and I swapped out the crystal. And then I've tried to do other kind of moddy things to it. I quickly realized I really don't have the hand steadiness to mess with that too much. Because I tried to, I also swapped out, you know, there was a Seiko 5, the sports that came out that are kind of the SKX, but not really. And so there was the Dress KX, which came out like a year later or so, which doesn't
have the smooth bezel variant.
I got one of those. It's the gilt dial version. And I was like, okay, let me switch out this crystal. Cause I was like, oh, it needs to be a sapphire crystal. I can't walk around with a hard Lex. What am I a fool? And in swapping out that one, I messed up the, the bezel insert perhaps. I messed up the dial, and around the 11 o'clock is like broken basically. And so it's just a reminder.
You messed up the index for
the ring. Sorry. That's what it's called.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The chapter ring. I'm like losing my words. I messed up the chapter ring. It is very noticeably bent at the 11 o'clock.
You can buy those, you know. They're replaceable chapter rings.
I looked at the time. There may be now, but at the time there were none that fit this particular watch.
Really?
Yes. I look. I was on the weirdest. Like
doesn't the regular SKX one fit it?
No, it doesn't. Actually, It does not. So that was a bummer. So what was the point of this? I quickly realized I don't actually have steady enough hands to really do this type of thing. So that is the story of my Seiko Samurai. It's kind of nice. Was my test watch, and now it is the navy blue watch in my collection.
Okay.
Man. Well,
that's still a good story. Valuable lesson, right? Know your limitations.
Know your limitations. I tried to replace the chain on my bike about a month ago. Complete disaster. Well, I took it to the bike store.
You should have hit me up for that. I could have helped you fix that.
Dude, I tried for like 3 days in a row. It was just like not happening. I took it to the bike guy. He did it in like 9 minutes.
Less.
And I was like, all right, well, again, know your limitations, I guess. Yeah. I should just take it to that guy. Anyhow.
I got two watches in today. And one of them is horrific. And the other one we'll talk about. So.
All right.
First of all, in the mail arrived a Michael Kors watch.
Okay.
It's a women's watch. Okay. It is sized very small for women. It has fake diamonds all around its bezel area. It's got a dial that's both brushed and also has a mother of pearl or a fake mother of pearl bit in it.
That sounds cool.
3, 6, 9, 12 arrangement on the dial. The dial is not horrible. The dial would be okay. The case is stainless steel, part polished and mostly polished. The bracelet is also stainless and polished. And it's got a butterfly deployant clasp, quartz. And I bought it for $29. Why did I buy this watch, do you suppose?
Sure.
It's ghastly. Why did I buy it?
Why did you buy it?
Because I'm insane. Because what I'm doing is, and I don't mean that with any sort of disparagement to anyone suffering from mental illness. I just feel like this is very clearly a difficult purchase to explain unless I actually go through the motions of explaining it.
Just explain it. We're all friends here.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for making this such a warm and welcoming environment. A couple, like a week ago, I bought this Sandoz diver, diver.
Yes,
and it was as I mentioned at the time, a smaller diver. It wasn't the 39mm diver. It was like a 37.
Yes.
Bracelet links are not exactly Oyster links. They're not the same as every other Rolex copy out there. So I couldn't just borrow a link from something else to make the bracelet slightly bigger.
Okay.
So I measured the links and I found that this Michael Kors has very similarly sized links.
All right.
And so I bought a whole watch so that I could get a bracelet link so that I could extend the bracelet on my Sandoz.
You paid $30 for it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's you know.
I found a dude who was going to sell a link for $15.
Exactly. That's what I was like,
here's a complete watch with four usable links that I could pirate out of this thing for $30.
Might as well.
Versus this one guy's $15. Yeah, exactly. So I bought this watch. My family is questioning my life's decisions at this moment. The other watch that arrived is actually a new watch by a fellow in Sweden.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to put the link in our little conversation here where we share stuff.
The tab.
Yeah, you look at the tab, and here it comes. Are you ready for the chat?
I'm ready.
All right. There is a link. This is a Square watch.
Clicking the link.
And when you open the page says unique at the top. And
it sure does.
It is unique. It is a Square watch. It is big. And I showed a picture to a friend of mine who asked me how many millimeters it is. And my answer to him was all of the millimeters. Yeah. Because it is, without question, rather large.
I kind of like this. They cost nothing, basically. Interesting.
Yeah. So it's the dimensions here are 47 millimeters by 37 millimeters by 10. And well, that doesn't sound that large. You know, those are reasonable dimensions. For a Square watch, it is quite large.
Yeah, no, these are big watches.
Oh yeah.
There's no way.
Oh yeah, they are. Now, the one that I have has an automatic movement in it.
Okay.
Which is super cool. The original release of these were all quartz movements, but the one that I've got has a automatic movement in it. And it's not all bad. I've got the white dial on a mesh bracelet.
White dial. Yeah, I was going to say, I like the mesh. They've got some product photos, or like it's lifestyle photos. Mesh bracelet looks pretty good. Is it nice, or does it, yeah. It looks okay from this one photo I'm looking at.
Okay. The thing is, it feels super big.
Okay.
It is ginormously big. Now, if you've got a monster 8-inch wrist, then this could be your watch.
8-inch wrist, jeez.
Well, what did I just say?
I can't imagine.
I know. It's a big watch.
What is that like? Maybe you could use this Google 6 Pro. That's a big phone, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a large watch. There's no question. Yeah. Quality wise, the hands and dial are all right. Although I would have preferred if some of the indices had been larger on the dial.
Sure.
The cardinal directions, the 12, 3, 6, 9 are decently large. I would have liked the other hours to have also been large. But, it's, you know, this is a style. This is a choice.
It is a choice. It is a
choice. This is the same person who wears a super big Panerai could wear this. Now, are they the same at all? No. But that's, you know, that's the kind of impression that I get.
Yeah. I definitely don't mind the look of this. I mean, I think it looks fine. It just feels very large and probably would look pretty silly on my wrist. But just as far as like, oh, this looks, you know, it looks fine, I think.
It looks very silly on my wrist. I'm going to send you a picture on my wrist to our Slack channel just so you can see.
And they've got a bunch
of
different kind of lifestyle on different outfits. I mean, it feels like it fits, you know, kind of a casual look, kind of a, I mean, that's not a wedding, but like
no.
Slightly dressed up. Mm-hmm. Let me get over here.
So for those listening at home, I have sent Nicholas a picture of this thing on my wrist. Let's see how he reacts.
Yeah, that is a little, man, that is.
Go on. Don't hold back.
You can't see it. It's like a solar eclipse. It is blocked.
The watch is blocking the view of my wrist.
Solar eclipse, yeah. Lunar eclipse, yeah. Whatever. I think you get the joke. Yeah, it's a little big. I don't know. The watch itself as an object, I think it looks fine. Do they have smaller? Or is it only this guy?
No. It is this.
Huh.
And if this thing were, you know, 7/8 size,
yeah.
If it were 3/4 size of what it is,
yeah.
then yeah, that could totally work. But as it is flipping ginormous.
Yeah.
And if you're that much of a baller, like if you put on a shirt with proper sleeves and cuffs and maybe some cufflinks and a jacket that's been tailored and
you
go out
going?
With this thing, I mean, well, I left out the purple Joker trousers, but if you were to properly dress up and then have this thing on your wrist, then that could be kind of baller. But it is
and
big.
It's funny you say that. I think people who, you know, who aren't watch nerds would see this in that ensemble you just described and be like, oh, that looks pretty good. Like it kind of gives that it looks dressier than perhaps it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm overall fairly positive on this thing. I don't know. And you don't see many, you know, obviously, it goes without saying, you don't see many Square watches, at least I don't.
No, you don't. I mean, there's some tank watches, like Cartier makes one.
Yeah, of course.
But if you don't have Cartier money, there aren't a whole lot of Square watches.
There's the Apple Watch.
Fine, but...
Yeah, but as far as, like, you know, regular watches, no. That is no. Interesting, yeah.
And, right. And you know, I talked with this guy, and this is what this guy wants to make. This is... It's all he does.
Well, good.
It's all, and he's got, you know, he's got a black dial, he's got a blue dial, he's got leather straps, he's got a green dial.
No, there's a lot of variety here.
And there's the gold and the rose gold kind of case kind of thing. But this is all he makes. It's just, you can get a Roman numeral dial, you can get the stick dial. You're getting the square case. That's all he's got.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the, you know, he wants to make this, and he has made it. And, you know,
precisely, and God love him. Right?
Yeah.
This is all he wants, and he knows what he wants, and he's doing it.
Yeah. Well, you need that, like, that vision or whatever. He's like, this is what I want, and I'm going to make it. It's not like, oh, I guess I'll make this because the market, you know, it's not like an artificial. No, this is what he wants to make. And it seems to be executed pretty well.
Right. So there's this progression that we sometimes see where a micro brand will start with quartz watches and then graduate to an automatic movement.
Yes.
And along the way, you know, become a more serious watch.
Yes.
This guy did the square quartz watch, made a bunch of them, apparently must have sold some because he's back with the automatic version of the same thing.
Do we know what movement? Do we care in the automatic?
Well, so I am going to speculate.
Okay.
I don't have to speculate. I probably shouldn't speculate. Why don't I?
All right, let's not speculate then. It's just a throwaway question.
What is it? Right, so inside this thing is the Miyota 9039.
All right, there you go. That's a real movement.
It is a real movement. Now, the one that I'm holding is actually a prototype, but there are going to be seven different variants for this thing, and it's going to have the Swiss C3 loom and two layers of like anti-reflective coating, and there's still a chance that the markers might be improved and made a little bit larger. It's good, and the pricing on this thing is really super reasonable.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. I'm seeing at least on their website currently. Was it $169 to be specific?
Right. So those are the pricing on the quartz, but
the quartz, of course.
The super early bird for the automatic is at this time. You know, obviously you could revise the campaign or whatever, but it's going to be somewhere around 160 euros, which is half off of the retail price for an automatic movement watch. That is a good value all day long.
For sure. I mean, now you're talking like those AliExpress watches that we've been talking, you know, it's like a Heimdallr, you know, $100. They're not, they're more than $100.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah,
you're talking hold that. Up. Hold the phone. I have to take a look at a Kickstarter because this thing could be actually launched on Kickstarter. We could tell you to go there now.
That would be useful.
See? Hold up. Let's find this. This thing just launched on Kickstarter.
All right.
Yeah, it is the Soner Automatic, and that's S-O-N-E-R with an umlaut over the O if you're really fussy.
Oh, boy.
And 160 euro is the pledge to get one of the very earliest ones. You get the watch. You get a strap of your choice. Inspired by the iconic JLC Reverso and Cartier Tank. Blends the best of Art Deco and modern watchmaking. And so it does. So this is called the Soner Momentum.
Yes. Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be... First of all, anytime you actually make something, you have a lot to be proud of.
For sure.
That you can make it a second time and improve it, you have a lot to be proud of. So for this fellow to go ahead and make these watches for 160 euro...
I mean, that's very inexpensive. Yeah.
There's no way of faulting any of this. It's just good, right?
When does the Kickstarter end?
You have...
Got a while. 44
you
days.
You have 44 days to go.
So that is December 13th.
But I want to tell you that the 160 euro pricing is only for the first 300. And so you, if you're thinking about doing that, don't wait for the 44th day. Go ahead. And if you just want to get in on it, get in on it.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Well, for sure. If I had to guess, by the time this episode is published in people's podcast feeds, mm-hmm. you'll still have some time to get in there.
You may, but don't wait too long. Right?
Yeah, that's I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't sit there and like hem and haw.
43 days later, you try and go and get one, and now you can't.
No. Yeah. No, I would not advise that. No. But yeah, very neat. Look at that.
No, but the 9039 is a completely competent movement.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I have a watch part by that one person. I have at least a handful of
Yodas. It's the same as the 9015. It's just got the no date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty.
Well, you've wasted another perfectly good 30 minutes with us. This is the Hour Time Show. I'm Victor.
I'm Nicholas.
And we will do this again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Hour Time Show, the official podcast of wristwatchreview.com. Feel free to email us at tips@wristwatchreview.com with your feedback and suggestions. And please be sure to visit wristwatchreview.com and wristwatchreview on Instagram for more fun watch content. Have a nice day.